We're going to do a little something different today. We're going to give a report to the church, and I'm going to take this microphone here occasionally. And if we have any time left after we give this report to the church, well, William's going to bring you a lesson. So let's first go to the Father in prayer. We've got a lot of sick, a lot of shut-ins. And so we want to remember them in prayer. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love, thy mercy, thy great goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified, our only hope of glory. Father, we thank you for this congregation of thy church, and we acknowledge that this is yours, it all belongs to you, you deserve every bit of the credit. And so help us not to misspeak and take credit for any of the things we're going to report on today, because we recognize that you've done it all, and all we've done is just follow along like sheep as you have shepherded us, Father. Father, thank you for our radio ministry that goes out to all the earth. Thank you for our internet ministry that goes out and does such great work. Thank you, Father, for our feeding ministry and all of the things that we do here, our hospital chaplains and our missionaries that go to other countries and people that work in the hospital and in the jails. Please bless all our ministries. Thank you that you are giving such a powerful testimony of what can be done with nothing. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Joe, come to the front, please. This church is a corporation, a state of Texas corporation. We were getting sued when I first came here, and the purpose of this church, I brought Joe up here for just a minute. I have nominated him to become a trustee, and I want a lot of you to know that you're on the short list of our trustee list. Brother McJoy, you are. The song leader, Brother Ken Thompson, Brother Ty Simmons, other people that I have talked with around here are on the short list of our trustees. Our bylaws call it for we can have 9 trustees. Joe has been a member of this church for years. He lives in church housing. He works for us full time. The website is his child. He has taken what was on the website and developed it into what it is now, a powerful engine for the Lord. He gives 40% of his Social Security check to the church. He gets $1,000 a month, and he gives $400 a month to the church. That's absolutely commendable. I have asked him to become a trustee, and I'm going to ask you to approve it in 2 weeks. You can go on back now. I just want everybody to know who you were. We also have other people on the short list that, as other people who have been trustees, people go to other churches all the time. One of our trustees this morning is sick, Kenneth Scoggins. These others are trustees. Brother Paul Lockman is a trustee. Paul, tell us about yourself. How long have you been a member here? You're a missionary. Goes out to all the earth. Tell us about what you do.
Probably been here about 8 years. Have learned so much about the Old Testament and the prophecies and the relationship with the New Testament. I try to volunteer as much as I can here. We also... I go to Ukraine, India, other places, Cambodia, other places doing mission work. There are several people here at the congregation that help buy Bibles and people that have listened to the radio and come here and help support the work here and help me as I go and share God's word with people of other cultures. And it's really been a benefit to me to be here and to know all the people that I've come in contact here and we're here with, and just to be a part of a body of people who are servants, and thank you for that.
Brother Eric Jenkins has been here 20-some-odd years. Tell us about it, Eric.
Yes, first came here back in 1988 when I was trying to live for Satan, and one of the elders here, Brother Scoggins, helped me to stay on that straight and narrow path and keep me from going off track. And then later on, I would come back in the mid-1990s, to start studying, and I was baptized here at this congregation for the first time. And then afterwards, I had left and came back, and Kelly put me to work as a youth minister, so I did that here for a while, and then that faded out, and then I just started being an associate minister and just helping out as much as I could. Later on, I would become a trustee and help with things that were going on. So now I would lead singing and Bible study. And Kelly was sick for a while, so we were helping him out with teaching a Sunday school and also Wednesday night Bible study. And we prayed for some help to come here, and it showed up. So William came here and saw the work that we were doing. And all of a sudden, those young people, the young blood that we prayed for, actually showed up. So I'm happy about that. So I can stay back and just help out as much as I possibly can. So I've enjoyed it. It's been great, and you guys have been a blessing.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. And so you guys can be seated now, and William and I are going to give a report to the church this morning, and he's going to bring you a lesson. This is our Articles of Incorporation. We're a nonprofit church corporation, the purpose of which this corporation organized to preach the gospel to the whole world. That's our organizational intent. The affairs of the congregation shall be managed by a board of trustees. The number of the trustees shall be fixed by the bylaws of the corporation, but not less than three. And until changed by the bylaws, the number shall be five. We have amended it to nine. And so we will have nine. Bernie Wood has begun going to another congregation because his wife can't sit through an hour of preaching here. We don't know if he's going to remain a trustee or not. If he doesn't, then Brother McJoy, we're going to be calling on you. And Brother Thompson, we don't know if Carl is going to need to take his wife to another congregation. If people go to other congregations all the time, it's not a big deal. And we're not mad at anybody for them going to a congregation that their wife will go with them. See, it takes a missionary to come here. You guys put up with me. Most people don't want an hour of preaching. This is a mission. We preach the gospel to the whole wide world. There are all kinds of regular churches. If you want a 15-minute cool whip sermon, you go on over to one of them regular churches, and there's plenty of them, man. You won't have any problem finding one of them. But you come here, you're going to get an advanced Bible study. My health hasn't been good. And William is going to begin preaching every other week with me. And I want to let you know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying, on our website, I'm going to give you a website report in a minute, but on our website, people who come to the website study whatever they want to study. They don't necessarily study what I'm preaching this Sunday. I've got several hundred that listen to this Sunday, to this broadcast, this Sunday right here on the web. They'll start listening to it this afternoon, and they'll listen to it this week. I'll have several hundred that'll do that. I have thousands and thousands of people who come who listen to what they want to listen to. If they want to listen to Isaiah, it's on there. If they want to listen to Matthew, it's on there. So what I'm trying to do in going back through this seed lesson is put in some history that's not part of the seed lesson, the history of the Old Testament, and bring in archaeology, evidences, proof that this stuff is true. And so that's what I'm in the middle of right now. And I'm having to do written lessons. So by William doing every other week, That's going to let me do a written lesson and make a written lesson. I'll have 2 weeks to get a written lesson. And see, my written lessons are 15 pages. It's not Mickey Mouse stuff that we're putting together here. So I want you to know how we're doing that. And what we're doing is we're broadcasting. I'm trying to make a two-year loop that we have the seed lesson, which is Genesis, Messianic prophecies in Genesis, a couple of lessons out of Exodus, dropping right over into King David, then all the Old Testament prophecies and their fulfillment of the coming of Christ, then the birth of Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, the parables of Christ, the book of Acts, and the book of Ephesians. That ought to make a two-year loop that we're just going to keep broadcasting on the radio to the whole wide world. And that two-year loop doesn't have anything to do with what's being preached here every Sunday morning. Now, we're on every day, so we've got to have a lot more lessons. And so Stan broke his neck, and God's answered our prayers, and there he come right in the back door, and he's doing better. Thank God that he spared you, Stan. I've been praying for you. The whole church's been praying for you. Looks like it worked. So what we're trying to do, see, in the daily broadcast, we have broadcast Genesis, we broadcast Exodus, we broadcast Matthew now, and now he's fixing to get and he's fixing to get Acts, Ephesians, and the second coming of Christ. And so we need, for a daily broadcast, we need like 300 different broadcasts a year to get through the day. So daily broadcast. So we're trying to get these together and get them on our website. We're going to have a window that's going to have William's sermons on it. And William has done a great work. I want you to come up and talk now about your daily work and what you're doing down there with these homeless people and so forth.
Okay, appreciate it, Brother Kelly. Well,
and introduce some of them to them.
Okay, too. Yeah, I will as I look around. It's just a joy and a pleasure to be with you this morning. Let me just share just a little bit about what goes on during the week. A lot of us who are here on Sunday mornings, we don't get an opportunity to see what's going on throughout the week. And over the past year or so, we've had a feeding ministry. We feed coffee and donuts around 9 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, we try and shut down our doors. And we have a Bible study that lasts for about an hour. And then after that, we serve another meal. And so we have quite a bit of traffic, a lot of new people, a lot of visitors, lots of opportunities in order to cast seed, in order to plant and water and to do the Lord's work. And specifically, this Bible study has been a great joy. I've had the opportunity to teach it, and God's really been working through that. He's really blessed it. We're growing in numbers. Some Fridays, I think a couple Fridays ago, we hit close to 35 men, and we also have women as well. And so it's really a cool, neat thing as far as the numbers are concerned, but also we're seeing a lot of growth and God changing some hearts. Just pointing out a few people, I'd like to point out Bobby in the back, who's helped out with the cooking. And the Lord has really answered a lot of prayers of ours. When I was asking and others were asking that God would send us some people.
If y'all are going, hold on a second. If y'all are going out, I want y'all to know Larry. Larry is the guard and the overseer down there. Bobby's the cook, and Fred just went down there. He's a van driver. I want y'all to know who these are. Somebody brought a load of stuff, and they're gone to get it. Excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah, as Brother Kelly has said, we are so blessed to have such amazing volunteers and servants. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know a church that does as much as this church does for such a small budget. and to have people volunteer and to do this for free, and as was mentioned earlier, to have people even pay to serve God on a full-time basis is really amazing, and it's a joy to be a part of it. We've gotten up to now, Bobby's making 4 commercial trays of food and casseroles and rice for the homeless, and it's really a joy to get to feed them something warm and hot. And it's really neat to see in Bobby's life how the Lord is really working powerfully. And he's a completely different person than when he first came to us. He struggled intensely with alcohol and sin and all kinds of things. And God has just totally changed his life. And we witness the power of God through him and many others. I'm thankful, just looking out here, Jeff and Jonathan, they've been working in our kitchen. And they are servants of God. And they help Bobby and others. And also, recently, really some positive news, Eric and Ann, I think I mentioned them a couple weeks ago. Eric came to this church about a year ago. He was baptized, went back to New York, and he was reconciled with his wife. And recently, they were able to make it down here by the help of Paul Lockman. Really just an act of Christian service. We're so grateful for him. But Eric, this past week, got a job. And so we're really excited about that. A wonderful job at the farmer's market. And he's a cook at a Cajun Tailgaters restaurant. And so we're happy for him. But more importantly, they are growing in the Lord. And they're committed to this church. And there's a lot of fruit and people who are getting jobs and people who are being encouraged to do the Lord's work. So I'm really encouraged in what is going on. This past week, we had Brother Manuel came and visited. That was a lot of fun. He really has a fire for the Lord. He came and visited our Bible class. We had Brother Little John came and visited. So feel free, anytime you want to drop in at 10 o'clock, Tuesday through Friday, come join our Bible class. And it would be a joy to have you with us. And please, 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 please keep us in your prayers, because every Tuesday through Friday we have a great and tremendous opportunity to preach the gospel in order to cast seed with the hope that God would work and that He would bring people to Christ and save them. So please keep the daily works and operations in your prayers.
Yeah, Brian Disney does so much for this church. Amen. He's our maintenance man, and he helps feed downstairs. And see, there's always a danger of me forgetting somebody. Back here is another IP guy, Bond. He does great work. He's here working for nothing. Right here sitting is Lionel. Lionel was a drunk. He come here to get money from me to go buy some whiskey with, and I put him in a Bible study instead, and William taught him. How long since you had a drink, Lionel? A year. Isn't that wonderful? He's got a year of sobriety. And Christiana. Christiana is a widow, and she went down because, you know, when your mate dies in life, it's a big cut out of your heart. And so she went down and started serving sin, and she's now repented, and she had a setback, but then she repented and really repented. And so this is the second month she gets a Social Security check. This is the second month that she's paid her rent instead of spending that money on dope and being out on the street. And so she now has a place to live, and she's off the street, living a godly life, coming to church, going to work here every day with us. This is wonderful news. Not only are we evangelizing the whole world, we're teaching some people right here. Now, we got to depend on people like you, Brother Lewis McJoy, and we got Brother Ken. Because as we die off, we've got to have somebody that we can trust, that we know won't sell this property, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The problem is that people all want to come over here and fix this place for us. And see, Churches of Christ are autonomous. Every Church of Christ owns itself, runs itself. makes its decisions for itself. This church right here decided years ago that we would have a representative form of government, and that's what trustees are. They're like senators, they're like congressmen, they make decisions for the church as a whole. And so we have bylaws, many pages of bylaws that we operate under. I don't handle any money because it's not right that I should handle money because I've been a thief in my past. And so I don't sign on the checkbook. We have Diana as one of the secretaries. Vicky's back there teaching the kids, one of the secretaries. I might tell them to write a check to somebody to pay a bill, but you see, anybody that ever wants to call us, you just call us and go downstairs with us and name a month, and we'll pull that file out and we'll show you every dollar and every check and everything, what this money was spent on. And I guarantee you it's spent on lights, water, gas, telephone, preaching the gospel to the whole world by radio and feeding the poor. And that's it. Isn't that right, Diana? She's the one that writes the checks. I haven't changed at all. From the very beginning, it's been my goal to preach the gospel to the whole world and feed the poor. We were feeding the poor, and this church got sued for $120,000, and the responsibility of this church fell on me. I became the minister that very week. And I went over here to a rich, fancy church, and I asked them if they'd please help us and hire a lawyer. And, of course, my reputation had preceded me, and they knew all about me being an outlaw in times past. And so they met me the next day, and they said, no, we're not going to give you nothing. And I'm not stupid. In fact, I'm pretty smart. And I give them a chance to get the blood off their hands. They were building a $1 million building. They were spending $500,000 on their parking lot when I'm over asking them for this. I said, here, let me ask you to do this. Just give us $500 to retain a lawyer and we'll pay for the lawyer. And they said, no, we're not going to give you nothing. And I went outside the car and I cried. And I told God, I said, I will not go beg these rich, fancy churches for money. You're going to have to supply the money. I'll feed the poor. I was already doing that, feeding the poor every Sunday. I'll feed the poor and preach the gospel to the whole world. I took a college course called World Conquest. And it really impressed me that God wants the gospel preached to the whole wide world. And he's willing to let any church that wants to do it, do it. All you got to do is want to do it. And when I made him that promise, I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know how he'd work it out. But I really meant it, that I'd feed the poor and preach the gospel to all the world. That Sunday, as the Lord lives, an old man walked in back here with a bib coveralls on and blue jean coveralls, and he said, can I get a receipt for my contribution? And I said, well, I could write you a receipt on a letterhead. And he said, fine. He counted me out $10,000 in $100 bills. We hired a lawyer, beat the lawsuit, and then it's been nothing but uphill since. You know, I want you to put up the overhead on the website, Joe. If you put that up, please. All right, if you'll see, I've got a piece of paper here that you can see after church gives every month. But back in 2006, our first month, we had 639 people hit on our website. We thought, man, my God, that's wonderful. We got 639 people coming to church here, plus us. Man, how great. Then the next month, we had 4,000 people come. The next month, how'd they hear about us? Well, it had to be from the radio program. We had one radio broadcast on the radio at that time, and we started building a radio ministry. And the next, and that's January 2007. In December 2007, it had doubled. It had gone to 8,000 hits. Then the next year, November, we got hacked in December. I can't give you December. In November, it was 33,000. It had gone four times 8,000 is 33,000. In that year, it had quadrupled four times. In 2009, we got 62,000 hits put up last month. Here's last month. We got 273,000 hits. Do you think we got some people going to church with us?
Amen.
I mean, it's not just us. That's just the website. All of these 273,000 people could have only heard about us on the radio. That's the only way they could have heard about us. Now, go on down here, you'll see that, look at hits per day as an example. Yeah, hits per day. 12,000 hits a day we averaged last month. 12,000 people coming to church every day. It's really a bunch of people doing 12,000 things. In other words, they take sermons, they listen to two sermons and one written lesson, then that counts for three. And so we've got 12,000 things done every day at this church. Studying is going out that many times. Now look down here to countries. We had 110 countries. Now what you've done is put up, see, in the first 8 hours of the first day of the month, I can see what is done on the website, and I can get an idea of what's done for that first 8 hours. Then after that first 8 hours, the numbers are so big, in it, stuff that's not important pushes off important things. So during the first 8 hours of this month, we had, where's it at? We got 1,466 hits while I slept from midnight to 7 the next morning. We had 263 unique sites, one of them being Google, one of them being Yahoo, one of them being Bing. And so that doesn't tell you how many people, but it gives you an idea that we had at least 263 people come to church while I was asleep. Now, if you look down here, there was 12 countries. While I was sleeping, we'll never know who these commercial people are, who these network people are, unresolved, unknown. These are people in China, India, Pakistan that are coming and studying, and they don't want their government to know who they are, so they're coming, they're hiding how they're coming. But we see the Czech Republic, we had 33 people. India, we had 17 people. European Union, 15. Turkey, 10 people. Taiwan, 9. Ukraine, 9. Soviet Union, 4. Gone down, there's two more. Germany, 11. And churches, one church came. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we were asleep the first night of the year. That goes on 24 hours a day, every day, 10,000 hits a day. It's amazing. Now, do you have another report there? This shows you the type as an example. That first day, 31 people asked for written lessons, 25 asked for sermons. one downloaded all of the WMA files. In other words, we have really done some things that defeats the purpose if we were out for numbers. As an example, you can make one punch and download all of the written lessons. You can make one punch and download all of the sermons on Matthew so people can put that on their MP3 player. So pressing right on along, that's our website. Today, I have some gripes about Churches of Christ, and I'm going to criticize my own brethren. And I mean this in a spirit of love. There has been a confusion in the minds of the brotherhood that church means a building. And the church is the ecclesia, it is the body, the called out, the ecclesiastica of God. One of my friends, who is a great Church of Christ elder, professor, he teaches at Harding Missions. He teaches all over the world. He sent me one of his new books on missions. I'm going to let you have it, Paul, when I'm through with it. But I'm going to read something to you. The elder with whom I was talking was a friend of many years. We stood in the shell of what was to be a large auditorium for a congregation that had decided to build its new structure in the area where members had moved over a period of several years. The steel girders stretched up imposingly well above the incomplete brickwork. This was an enormous Church of Christ. This is a building that's fit to hold 5,000, 3,000 people. I was somewhat overdrawn at the size of the structure because I just returned from 10 years of evangelistic work in Britain. Most of the church buildings there were small enough to fit comfortably into the steel shell. The whole building, Sunday school building, church building, and all of the other buildings, he said it just fit within that steel shell in that framework. I was somewhat ill at ease, but I had learned to be careful about passing judgment on people concerning matters of opinion. So it's their opinion whether they build a big church building or not. What the elder said, Philip, now that's this guy that wrote the book, that's his name, Philip, I hope we have done the right thing in building this, he said. You know, for many, many years, this church has used over half its contribution on missions and evangelism outside of Tennessee. But to build this, however, tilting his head back to look at the tall girders, we've had to cut back on our mission work, and it's done something to our spirit. No kidding. Anytime we start thinking that the church is a building, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, the Bible says. And so the church is not a building. You people are the church. We need y'all. I need you to become trustee next. I need you, Ken, to become a trustee. I need y'all to help make sure that nobody steals this place and that you work with William. William is a trustee, and he's part of our stuff here. Preaching, I've got a gripe about preachers. I think that they have kowtowed to their membership and to their eldership, and that they preach 15 minutes and they read three verses and pontificate for the rest of the time. And I think any preacher worth his salt in the Church of Christ ought to insist on teaching for 30 minutes at the very minimum a lesson. Our worship, We have witnessed the dumbing down of the Church of Christ in our generation, William. In our generation, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, nobody could debate Church of Christ people. We knew the Bible better than anybody on the face of the earth. And it's not like that now. And the reason it's not like that now is that they teach at the college that he went to that you can't preach over 20 minutes because you can't keep their attention. Let me tell you something. We require high school kids to go to an hour math class, don't we? Then after that's over, we require them to go to an hour history class. And then when that's over, we require them to go to an hour English class. And then when that's over, we require them to go to an hour PE or something. There's always chemistry and something. All them classes are how long? They're an hour. What do you mean if you can keep the Bible going out and keep it interesting? All of you people tell me, man, the sermon's over before we ever start. I didn't turn the timer on. We're in trouble, man.
We got one right here, Kelly.
Oh, we do. Good.
Six.
So I've already hogged a bunch of your time already. You have to preach the week after next. So I've got a beef about building church buildings instead of preaching the gospel, evangelism to the world. I've got a beef about that. We in the Churches of Christ do not have missionary societies, but they're starting ones called Missions Resource Network, and they want people to give money to that. And all of that money has got to go pay for a secretary, an office, a Cadillac for the guy to drive. He's got to live in a big building. He's got to have airplane tickets to go all over the world to raise money and all that stuff. And missionaries get nothing. And it's garbage, and it's not the way to do it. The way to do it's like we're doing it. Paul travels the whole world every year for us. He handles all the mission stuff that comes in on our web. So I've got a beef about building church buildings instead of preaching the gospel. I've got a beef with preachers about not preaching the gospel and preaching Cool Whip candy-coated lessons for 15 minutes. And I've got a beef with elders about being bishops and overseers and presbyters and not shepherds and pastors. Alvin Jennings, one of my best friends, he wrote this book right here. He owns Star Bible and Tract Corporation. He's been a gospel preacher since 1955 when he graduated from Abilene Christian University. He hasn't changed one thing, and he believes in the last 55 years, 60 years that he's been preaching. He came over here and he told me, he said, "My God, Kelly," he said, "you got to get some elders in there and slow that thing down." He said, "You're going at warp speed, man." He said, "You got 4 million people coming every year on the website." He said, "That's crazy." He said, "You got to get some elders in there and slow that thing down." Well, he told me yesterday that he got that saying from Alvin Bryan. And Alvin Bryan, back in 1980, I was preaching soul-winning workshops. The Churches of Christ would come together. There'd be 5,000 people come to Tulsa and to White Plains, Tennessee, and to Pueblo, Colorado, and to California at Pepperdine. And we preached to thousands and thousands of people, and I was preaching these workshops. And Alvin Bryan is the one that thought up that saying, "We got to get some elders in there and slow that thing down." Well, that was just really a warning to me, because the next Sunday, a church that had been tickling us, they'd been promising us that they were going to help us and give us some money to do things here to help the poor and help have a better... they got plenty of money. In fact, they let us know that they were rich. What was your response to that, William?
Where in Scripture do we see that this is a good thing, right?
Where in the Bible, Kendon, we see that that's a good thing, being rich, and being a rich, puffed-up church? Where in the Bible? Show me that somewhere in the Bible. And so the guy, one of the elders, he set me down back here in the room, and I sat down with probably about 10 of them, and he said, "We're a really rich church." And I said, "I'm sorry." And he said, "What?" And I said, "I'm sorry."
That's right.
And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "You'll never know the joy of depending on God alone.
Amen.
You'll always depend on yourself and your money. You'll never know the joy of depending on God alone." He said, "Do you realize what this ministry here could be if we got our money behind it?" And I said, "Just exactly what would that cost us, brother?" "Well, what it would cost us is God. We're depending on God. I don't want to depend on some rich church. I want to depend on God." He said, "No, no, you don't understand." He said, "Do you know Larry James?" And I crossed both of my fingers and put them behind my back, and I said, "I've heard the name." Now, I know all about Larry James. Larry James started a social ministry in the Church of Christ that's the best social ministry on the face of the earth. They do more to help the poor and the homeless. They're called City Square now. Y'all have all heard of them. They do wonderful things. But the name of Jesus can't be mentioned. They take government money. They hire fruitcakes and all other kinds of people to work for them because they can't discriminate about anybody's sexual preference or anything else. We're not ever going to be a social ministry as long as I live. I pledge to you. You pledge the same thing, don't you?
100%.
100%. We will never, ever take man's money and turn this place into a place that doesn't preach the gospel. When he asked me, he said, "How soon before you can get elders in here?" And I said, "Well, we're not going to ordain any businessmen." Now that's what he was. He was a vice president of a big company. Well, he tells me, he said, "Larry James and I was best friends, and I moved to Houston. And when he started Central Dallas Ministry that's become City Square," he said, "I didn't get to be a part of that, but we could do that here." And I said, "Well, do you want to do something here?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, you know, you could rent a couple of rooms, a couple of apartments. We take some better people that want to sober up, straighten up, put them in it." And so anyway, the opportunity became available to, with the people, Bobby and Don and some people. And so their money hadn't come in, so we did it our own self. And we don't have any money. We don't have any money at all. And we spent the money ourselves. And every month they're telling us, "Oh, we're going to give you something. We're going to give you something. We're going to give you something. We're going to put you in our budget, but not yet, not yet, not yet." Let me tell you something. When we have qualified elders and shepherds and pastors, that's when we'll put in elders, when they're qualified, not when they're businessmen and they give a lot of money in the pan. Giving a lot of money in the pan is not going to get you an eldership in this church. It's not for sale. So he realized, he said, "Do you realize what this church could be, man, if we got our money behind it?" And I said, "Just exactly what would that cost us, brother?" My guardian angel had from that church reported to me that when they had their meeting, when they went back that night, they said, "The first thing we got to do is get rid of them radio broadcasts and that long-winded preacher that preaches an hour out of the King James Version of the Bible." Now, they're so stupid, the radio pays for everything that goes on here. You really don't think your contribution of $300 or $400 one Sunday, $500 or $600 another Sunday, $1,000 one Sunday, and $1,500 another Sunday, you really don't think that that pays for all this stuff that goes on here, do you? Where does the money come from? It comes from evangelists, people like these good people, these missionaries that come here that put their money in the pan because they want to see their contribution spent on broadcasting These good people that are visiting us today, they pay for all the broadcasts to Europe through Russia, all the broadcasts to China and the Pacific Rim, and all the broadcasts to Africa. They pay for 3 broadcasts just with 1 check once a month. We've got a lot of people that come here that do that because they don't want their money spent on foolishness. Insofar as the King James Version of the Bible, William is teaching y'all out of a new translation, and that's for you people here. I'm preaching to the world. There are 6,100,000,000 copies of the King James Version of the Bible in the world. Somebody reading in Africa or China or Europe, they're reading the King James Version of the Bible. You had never seen any other translation in India, have you? No. They're just not anywhere else. And so these people just really don't know how things work. PayPal, we want people to understand that PayPal on our website, when you give a one-time contribution, we put that in our budget towards the poor. When you give a reoccurring monthly contribution, as an example, $100 a month, we'll go hire another radio broadcast. So we want you to know how we do things. I'm going to turn it over to William. I hope he'll amplify on the things that I've said and get in a little lesson here for you. And I'll be preaching next Sunday. His parents are going to be here. And then he'll be preaching the Sunday afterwards. William, it's a pleasure to serve with you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to tell them, you've been down there, you've seen the checkbook, you see how things work. What do you think about it?
Okay, well, thank you, Brother Kelly. I just really appreciate the report, and this really confirms for me. This is what I believe in. This is why I'm here passionately. Everything that Brother Kelly mentioned, I think he touched on some of the major problems in the church today and our reliance on the arm of the flesh, our reliance on money and buildings. And when we look at this church, I don't think we need new carpet, right? Our carpet is old. It's got spots in it. Building maybe is not as pretty as some of the palaces that the people worship God in this neighborhood. Our true need is God Himself. And I believe that that's the foundation of this church. And the Lord has blessed that in a number of ways. And I'm really thankful for Him. And just as we're giving a report to the church, I wanted to mention just one other person, maybe a couple, Kraft Martin. He's the young man which God has sent to us, and he reads off our prayer request at the end of service. And many times he preaches on Sunday nights. This past Sunday night, he did an excellent job, and it's amazing to see God working through him and how he is passionately delivering the Word of God. So if you would like to join us on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock, we would love to have y'all join us.